Time Baseball Weekly Podcast for May 14th. It's brought to you by Shooters in Nagoya. I'm John Gibson, and with me is Jim Allen. What's happening, buddy?
Well, I'm fine, and yourself?
whoa, what, did I wake you? Wake up there, man.
I'm here, man. I just was up 6 o'clock in the morning watching my buddy surf.
I was so surprised to get your email and getting up in the morning. I'm like, what is this dude doing up in the morning sending me pictures? But I was up. I had to go for a run, too, before going to work. So
I didn't go for a run. I went for a sit. He surfed. I sat.
I sat all day at the office. Well, before we get started, I wanted to announce that we have been added to a site called baseballpodcast.net. It has a number of podcasts that represent big league teams. So go there and check out the place and see if your team is on there and give their shows a listen. And again, we want to say thank you for adding us to the page.
Thanks very much. Appreciate the mention.
All right. We've got a first in JBW history. Two interviews this week. Wow. The first is with Brandon Mann of the Bay Stars. Then we're going to talk to Micah Hoffpower of the Fighters. And we're also going to discuss Interleague, which starts this week, and touch on some other topics. So let's start clearing the bases.
All right. Well, on Wednesday, I got out to the park, which has been kind of as people know, I'm changing jobs, and I haven't been able to get to the park much. So it was really nice to get out to the Tokyo Dome the other day and got to talk to somebody I'd really wanted to speak with. And the guy I wanted to talk to was Brandon Mann of the Bay Stars. I'll explain why. Is he could have been the invisible man last year for Yokohama.
He's the invisible man or just the man? I'm sorry. Oh. That just popped out. Someone stop me.
Can you put it back? and put a lid on it.
Just put a lid on it. I apologize.
Okay. So
he's the invisible man.
He's the invisible man for the Bay Stars.
Okay.
Yes, with two N's, correct. Of course, his name is invisible because he's registered as Brandon.
Exactly.
So anyway, he pitched well for them in the Central League. He pitched very well for them in the Eastern League, mm-hmm. and he wasn't hurt. So you have
down on the farm. Down on the farm, he pitched really well
mm-hmm. in the Eastern League. Well, and he pitched very well. He had a one. He allowed basically nothing in 12 or so innings. I'm going to say 12 or so innings in the Central League. So you think a guy succeeds is going to get more chances to succeed, but the Bay Stars, you don't know what's going on there. So I really wanted to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only the second time I'd spoken to him. I spoke to him last March, first time I went out to Yokohama.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's have a listen to Mr. Lefty Brandon Mann.
Nice to see you again. Long time no see.
I know, long time no see, huh?
I think I saw you the day of the earthquake.
I think you're right. Yeah,
and then
yeah.
I just said hello, and I was talking to the guy who left.
Yeah, I know.
So tell me about last year. It was like, I don't know, a weird year.
It was. You know, for me, it was a good learning experience last year in the minor leagues.
Right. Because so, you pitched really well in the minor leagues.
I pitched really well, yeah. And so, you know, getting called up, it was nice to finally get there. I was coming up high A, you know,
right.
So I learned a lot last year. Hopefully I can freaking get back to where I was.
Right, because I thought, because you didn't pitch all that much in it. Is it just because you don't play, there aren't enough games?
Yeah, there were so many starters last year in the minor leagues that, you know, and they brought over Randolph, they brought over Gonzalez, and they had Leach. So, you know, I was kind of their project, I guess you could say. I don't know. And it obviously worked out. And this year, my stuff is a million times better this year than it was last year.
Really?
Oh, I mean, last year I think my average fastball was like 140. This year it's been like 144.
Okay.
And I think I built up a lot of arm strength last year.
Okay.
I learned a lot last year too.
What'd you learn?
The game here is much different. It really is. You know, the hitters, their approaches are different. There's not too many guys that try to swing for the fence. They try to make more contact here. They play more small ball. So, you know, I think one of my biggest problems when I first got over last year is I didn't take like the defensive side of stuff serious.
Right.
So I worked my butt off on getting better defensively.
Right.
And that helped me out tremendously last year. Because, you know, I remember last year in spring training, I think I made two or three errors.
Right.
Just, like, taking my time and watching those guys, like, run down the line so fast on a punt. And then I would throw it away because I had to rush as well. So, you know, things like that. I was learning how to, you know, throw my off-speed pitches and hitters count.
Okay.
You know, in the States, you obviously have to do that too, but over here, they just feel like it's more important because their bat stays in the strike zone so much longer because they're more of a contact hitter.
Right, right.
And so being able to throw that obviously helps. And when I got here, I didn't throw a changeup. So
oh, okay.
Last year, I developed a changeup, and in a lot of ways, it's become my best like ground ball or
okay.
sometimes strikeout pitch to righty. So.
Okay, interesting. So how did you deal with that? I know there's a lot of frustration when you have guys having maybe he gets two strikes on him, and then he can foul off five pitches.
That's something I'm dealing with now up here, because in the minor leagues it was much easier, because
right.
I think my stuff was better than most lefties you'll see down there.
Okay.
So they it was easy to get a quick out, but here, with two strikes, these guys are very good at fouling pitches.
Right.
And for me now, it's a matter of making my pitches that much better now, because I've got more quality pitches. Yeah, I can throw fairly hard and throw my awesome pitches, but these guys are good at fouling it off.
Right, right.
So now, I need to get it lower. I need to get it in the spot that it used to be, because they foul off, and you end up walking the walking
right,
back.
Right. Walk them, or you're gonna lose your concentration.
Yeah, and I think that's been a little bit so far this year. I'll cruise, and then I'll get a guy to foul up a bunch of pitches, and I'll end up walking him.
Right.
And that's
like welcome to Japan.
Yeah, and obviously I believe that I have the stuff to stay here a long time, and I want to stay here a long time. So it's just something I got to get better at.
How's the mood on the team this year?
It's great. Honestly, I think the guys are upbeat, and everybody's working hard.
Yeah.
Everybody's working hard. The coaching staff's great. The manager's fantastic. And they've been very supportive of us. So
you're gonna start tomorrow? I mean, we'll find out in a minute. Or
yeah.
So. It's not as like it was last year. It's no longer.
Well, last year they were like, if you tell anybody, then yeah.
Yeah, you
don't let
fine.
Anybody go.
That's
don't
right. They'll find you sleeping with the fishes.
Yeah. So
no, it was. So what kind of adjustments did you make since the last year?
It's still just working on my step position, because my windup is great.
Okay.
I throw well out of the windup, but when I get into the step position, again, in the States, I was always lift my leg, and my pickoff move was different, so I could be slow to the plate.
Right.
Here it's all about being quick, so.
Mess up your timing a bit?
Last year it was great, but I spent all last year in the minor leagues working on it.
Okay.
I got to throw bullpens and not have to work in games as much. It's not every 6 days down there last year it is now. So my time to work on it is maybe once in between.
Okay.
And so the timing is just, lately it's been just a little bit off. And this past bullpen that I had the other day, it was the best I've been.
Oh,
everything was down in the zone, and I felt like my weight's shifting much better.
Okay.
And so. I feel like I'm definitely getting so much closer to where I was last year. And when that happens, I think I'll really help this team out a lot more than I have been.
Well, I think from how you did and what little chances you had last year, they have a lot to hope for.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you don't see too many lefties over here who throw 150 or whatever.
You and the guy from Sabre, that's about it.
Yeah. And so, I'm a young guy gene over here too. So, I think they know that I'm hoping that they see a long future with me. Because I like it here. I don't have any plans to want to go back to the States.
It was a tough first year being in the minors most of the time.
For me, I knew that was the case.
Okay.
I kind of knew it was the case.
Oh, really? Okay.
Because they had their four guys last year
when
I came over.
Right.
And Leach was their lefty starter.
Right.
And, they didn't know if they were going to use me as a reliever or a starter. So, for me, I just wanted the opportunity. And, I want to keep that opportunity. I want to help this team turn it around. I think our rotation's young. I think we can easily turn this around.
Well, the thing with the base star, I don't know. They have so many issues, but one of them has always been that they beat themselves so often.
Yeah.
They never play up to what they were capable of.
Yeah. Well, you look at the rotation now. You got Takasaki. He's a younger guy.
Right.
You got Kunyoshi. He's very young. And then there's me, and then Mira. But we all of us learn a lot from Mira, obviously.
Yeah.
And then Kosugi and Gio.
Yeah.
But besides Gio and Mira, everybody else is 27 and below.
Right.
With really good arms.
Right.
If you look at our rotation last year, nobody really had good fastballs.
Right.
over for the most part. If you look at, like, Cooney, he was 153 2 days ago. Sakasaki this year, he's been, like, 148, 149 at times. And then, you know, my fastball is really good. Our stuff is, I feel like our rotation stuff-wise is up there with anybody in the league.
Right.
It's just a matter of execution.
Okay. All right, so the story is that Brandon was a low priority. You know, he was just the low man on the Bay Stars pitching totem pole.
They have a totem pole, or is it just a totem stump?
No, it was there. He was the bottom man of the order, and they hit a bunch of guys that, you know, you mentioned Steven Randolph, and I love Steven Randolph. He's a great guy.
Dragon killer, yeah.
Right, well, that wasn't the reason I liked him. Yeah. Although you could make it that if you keep up.
So, just pointing out, you know, that
Steven Randolph I really liked, but they signed him to a contract. They had him pitch, I don't know if he even pitched one game in the Eastern League,
mm-hmm.
but they released him.
Yeah, that was odd last year.
It was odd. It's like, wait. It's like somebody made a clerical error. Bring that pitcher we used to have in Steven Randolph when he got here. It's like, you got the wrong guy. I don't know what it was. The Bay Stars have done things like
this. Sticking identity.
They have done things like this before in the past. They did a press release, I'm going to say 6-7 years ago, announcing that they had the cleanup hitter for the U.S. Sydney Olympic team, the gold medal winning team. And they did because the guy they signed pinch ran for the cleanup hitter.
Alrighty then.
And he was a disaster, but yeah, that's the kind of thing one tends to expect from the Bay Stars, from the old Bay Stars. So, and he says things have changed, and yeah, things have changed. Everybody's talking about what an upbeat team and the manager, Kiyoshi Nakahata, is a little bit unpredictable. And he seems to be unpredictable enough, or, you know, playing it by ear so much that he's got a couple of the managers, his rival managers, are a little off balance. You know, they're sort of managing on the back foot. They're like doing weird things to anticipate the weirder things they expect from him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting, and the Bay Stars have had they had a streak where they were unbeaten in five games, you know, 3 wins, no losses, and 2 ties.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, that was something they could
one of their better streaks so far this season.
Right.
Unfortunately,
that was their best streak. So, but you know, they're back at the bottom of the heap, and they are struggling. They're struggling to hit. They're struggling to pitch. They're doing all the things they struggle at. But they don't seem to be. They seem to be playing fairly good games. Now, this is a thing that the Bay Stars didn't used to do. They didn't play good games. They sometimes got a big lead and they won. They sometimes played well and they won. But they didn't have a lot of resiliency.
Uh huh.
And so I see that. I see the team playing really, really loose. I mean, they don't have a lot of, you know, they don't have a lot of weapons, but they are loose and they are playing. I think they're playing up to their ability more often. Now, is that reflected in the win column? Maybe not quite. Maybe they're a little better than their record, but this is a team, I think, that has a chance to be as good as they should be, as opposed to not, you know, never was going to happen under Obana, as much as I had a little respect for what Obana had done in the past.
Right.
They played tight. So what did you, what did you get out of this?
Well, you know, the thing that really stood out for me was when he said that stuff-wise, that he, you know, he was pitching better than he was last year, but he only mentioned velocity. He didn't say, you know, he had better movement or he was getting a sharper break on his pitches.
Well, I think the thing he was particularly talking about was his changeup, which was last year was a work in progress, and this year he's fairly happy with it.
Yeah, he did talk about the changeup being better, but he didn't, you know, when he said stuff, he just said, I'm throwing harder, you know, I'm throwing harder than I was last year. And I mean, so I just, you know, if speed is stuff, then good. And I did get to see a few pitches before he was unfortunately knocked out of the game the other day by a line drive. I forgot who hit it. Sakamoto, probably. I don't remember. I shouldn't. I'll look it up as we talk here. But
well, it's all right. Now you can speculate. I mean, it wasn't something they didn't plan. He didn't plan on hitting him. So it's
no, not at all.
Anyway, moving along.
But yeah, I mean, he's right. I like. Their pitching staff. Well, I liked their pitching staff in the preseason, and I shouldn't even say pitching staff, but just the rotation, because I'm not very fond of their bullpen, but I don't think a lot of their fans are either.
That's harsh.
Well, you ask them.
But that's true. But harsh but fair.
Okay. And yeah, they have. I mean, Kuniyoshi, my guy, I picked to be the breakout pitcher of this season. I mean, he had a bunch of quality starts leading up until Sunday, and then he got bounced around early and got knocked up. But I mean, that happens to guys here and there. And he's still only, like I said, he's only 20.
He's a Ikusei player, started on a developmental contract, and you know he's had some success. His head is in the clouds right now, or maybe that's because the guy's about 3 meters tall.
Yeah, he's a big boy. I like Gio Alvarado. I really like him.
Nice ball,
And I'm surprised. I'm absolutely knocked down by Daisuke Miura. I didn't think they'd have this kind of a season from him. And he even admitted it after he took a no-hitter into the ninth inning on Saturday.
Right.
And gave up a hit to the first batter, who was a pinch hitter extraordinaire, Mr. Hiyama from the Tigers. But even he said after the game, he says, well, I saw a quote where he says, well, I'm pretty sure the fans wanted to give up on me these past 2 or 3 years. I think he's won, you know, five games or so the past 3 years.
Yeah, he's had a real rough spot, but I think, and I've told people this in the past, is that there was a stretch of 3-4 years where it was close to a toss-up about who was the best pitcher in the Central League.
Mm-hmm.
And Miura, and a lot of people don't recognize this because, A, the Bay Stars had a terrible offense, and they played in a tremendous hitter's park. This goes for the guy who was right up there in terms of just how consistently good he was in a bad environment was Hiroki Kuroda.
Mm-hmm.
These two guys were almost year in and year out, I would say they were in the top 3-4 pitchers in the Central League for about a span of about 3 or 4 years, 2004, 2008 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And Miura's shown spots of that, but the last couple of years has been injuries and timing, and everything's been bad. So,
well, the other thing that stuck out in my mind too was that Brandon said essentially he told us he didn't really have a slide step. I mean,
yeah,
I've seen coaches in the States coach it, but I know it's a real big focus over here in Japan. In fact, Mori, the former pitching coach with the Chunichi Dragons,
that's hard to say,
told me that they wouldn't bring guys up to the first team if they couldn't do the little things.
Okay.
Because it's not like you're going to keep guys off base. People are going to reach base against you. We want you to be able to do a slide step, hold runners on, and field your position.
Right.
You know, those key things that they want guys to do. It's not just about getting pitches where you want them. It's about what to do when bad things start happening and how to get out of innings or limit runs. And
well, it's all part of the picture, yeah.
So Brandon's saying that he didn't have a slide step. I mean, it sounded like he didn't have it at all.
They didn't play good defense.
Yeah, and he said, what's that little white thing rolling around in front of me there? I mean,
looks like something I threw and it came back.
Hey, you dropped this. So, I mean, those little things and those details, and I'm glad to hear him say that he's working on it and that it's improved. It's unfortunate that hopefully he's not hurt and out for a long time, but it's good that he's got, you know, he's developed that part of his pitching game, and that it's going to help the Bay Stars. And that was another thing he said, you know, he wants to help this team, and goodness knows we've been wanting people to help this team for a long time.
Yeah, they haven't quite been on the Jerry Lewis telephone yet, but there's a lot of people want to pitch in and help.
Please, people, will you give?
That's cruel. I know. I apologize for that, all you Bay Stars fans. And,
well,
but you know, but this team is a case of there's certainly, I think, more than they have been in 3 or 4 years, a few steps away from having a good record. I'm not saying being a good team, but having a good record, having, you know, being close to 500.
Yeah. Well, there have been a lot of games this season that they were right there on the verge of winning, and they just didn't. They didn't have enough offense, or they couldn't play good enough defense, or they couldn't get a pitch in the right spot or execute something, and they've lost the game. But they've been in a lot of games. They haven't been blown out a lot.
Yeah, this is a new trend for the Bay Stars. So,
And it's good that they got Tsutsugo back. He's helped the offense. And, you know, our friend Claudio in Toronto was writing me, and he said, look, you know, and this is after I saw an article that said that the Bay Stars were on pace to lose 100 games, which is almost, you know, impossible. But he said,
was that after opening day?
Now you're going to apologize to Bay Star fans again?
No, I'm saying they lost the first game, so they were on track to lose 144 games.
You said they were on pace to, not 144, 100.
Well.
100. Come
on. That's your pace after you lose opening day.
Okay. So, I said, yeah, I was going to write to him and say, yeah, you know, their lineup is not really how they envisioned it, and, you know, they missed some power with the guys they got rid of, but a guy who's supposed to be hitting power for them, who changes their lineup, Tsutsugo, has been injured, and when he gets back, maybe it'll make a difference. But it has made a difference in that they haven't been getting shut out a lot. But it hasn't made the difference where they're winning games yet. But give him some time. Give him some time.
Yeah. Well, that'll be good. Anyway, so, yeah, well, I think there was interesting in the sense that Mann talked about the little things, and, you know, and putting those pieces together. And often the difference between a good player in the minors and a good player at the top level is not talent. An outstanding player, a guy who's outstanding in the minor leagues, it's usually an adjustment he has to make. Now, there are cases where, you know, the guy makes more adjustments than at that level, like an older player will make so many more adjustments. He knows all the adjustments at the minor league level, and he can't do that at the top level. Mm-hmm. But for young kids, and Brandon Mann's still, he's still fairly young, and the Bay Stars are young, it is more or less a matter of adjustments. But I think he'll do quite well, and I think that he says they have a lot of guys. So anyway, but doing the little things and you know, dealing with the way Japanese baseball is a lot about what your guy talked about.
Okay. I went out to the Q, I like to call it, QVC Marine Field, this past week, and I got to talk to Micah Hoffpower of the Nippon Ham Fighters. And what we talked about was basically the incident that occurred with the Washington Nationals' Bryce Harper and the Philadelphia Phillies' Cole Hamels. And Hamels just hit him just as an initiation, he called it, to the big leagues. And Bryce Harper is this precocious 19-year-old player who Hamels decided needed to be taught something. I don't know what. I don't know what you hit him for. You hit him in the backside. I guess I wanted to give him
how much a ball hurts and you hit him in the butt.
Yeah, I wanted to give him a baseball spanking.
Wow.
So I sat down with Michael Hoffpower, and he hit 222 last year in 122 games with the Fighters. This year he hasn't been playing that much. He's been pinch hitting. Sometimes he's getting a shot at a DH here, but he's hitting 313 with 3 home runs in about 12 games. But he played in the Chicago Cubs organization. He was a first baseman outfielder. And so I wanted to get his take on what it's like to have the game policed here, because we don't see a lot of batters hit for no reason or for these kinds of reasons.
Right.
And so I wonder how they police and if a guy, I guess it actually makes you think these foreign players sometimes chase after these pitchers like we see on these blooper reels sometimes when they show them in Japan. It's because these guys know they have to take care of themselves, that the pitchers are not going to really put guys on base needlessly just to prove a point, that every batter in every situation counts. So let's take a listen to Micah Hoffpower. All right, our guest this week is Micah Hoffpower. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
All right, thanks for joining us today. Wanted to talk to you about, you know, policing the sport here in Japan. And there's a big thing about Bryce Harper in the States. He was hit by Cole Hamels and blah, blah, blah. It's been a big deal. He got suspended. What kind of policing goes on here in Japan as far as you can see?
I think it's a lot different. I don't think that players are as... quick to retaliate for hit by pitches and things of that nature. But also, I don't think there's near as much intentionally hitting people here. I think that pitchers here, for the most part, are trying to do one thing, and that's get you out. And you don't see as many hit by pitches here. Same thing on the base path. The guys are, you see it all the time. Guys peeling off. Guys sliding early. Guys, and a lot of it happens faster because it's on turf, so they don't get a chance to get to the bag. So they are peeling off, so they don't get hit in the head with the baseball. You know, but and the same thing in home plate. Guys don't run over catchers that much. In the States, most of the catchers that are here would have already had broken legs or broken backs or something, because they won't move. They won't get out of the way, and somebody would have definitely hurt them. I think Nishioka with the Twins is a great example of that. Not knowing how to get out of the way, not knowing how to take that hit at second base, and I think that's probably why he got hurt with that situation. But as far as that kind of stuff is concerned, it just doesn't happen as much here.
Why do you think that is?
I just think it's just the nature of the game. It's the nature of the culture itself. I mean, you look at all Japanese people, and the best scenario for both teams here is a tie, because it doesn't nobody loses face. So they don't want to hurt each other. They want to play. It's just different. I mean, I don't know how to explain the differences of it, but it's definitely different. Very much so.
Does the policing take place?
I think within the teams it does. I think that the older players take care of the younger players. I don't think it has anything to do with service time. The older you are, the more people are going to listen to you, and the more respect you're going to command. And I think that's how it works. The younger guys look up to the older guys, and the older guy tells the younger guy to do something, they do it, and there's no questions asked. And I think that's a big difference here as well. In the States, some of the younger guys may try to buck the system a little bit. For the most part, you don't see that here.
You know, I look at it as a more pure form of baseball, but I guess you don't agree with that.
I mean, look, I've played in the United States, I've played in Japan, and I think that the Japanese baseball league, the Japanese baseball teams have their own way of looking at things. It's different. They don't play for the big home runs here. They don't play for the big innings and things like that. They play for one run, and they believe that if they can get that first run, it gives them a huge advantage. And I think it's such a big difference. In the United States, you just don't see that. You see teams, especially in the first inning. Now, when it comes to a situation where you need a bunt, you may see it, but it's so different. I mean, once you're out there playing, it's not that much different. But just sitting back and watching it, you see quite a few differences, and that's to me is the biggest difference. And as far as being just pure, I mean, I love playing baseball, so I don't care where I'm at. I just enjoy playing. So if the listeners think that this is a more pure form of baseball, then, you know, great. But I don't know.
Well, it's just a question. Now, talk about your role with the team. You played a few more games at the beginning of the season last year, but you seem to be doing more pinch hitting roles this year.
Yes. We coming into the season, I didn't know what was going to happen. The team signed Sledgy back, and, you know, obviously a great acquisition for the team. Great teammate, and he and I have kind of been thrown into a one person or two people for one spot type thing, and it's a tough situation for both of us. If he's not playing, I'm playing. If I'm not playing, he's playing, and it's a tough situation. But it's something that you learn how to deal with being a professional. And if your bats come as a pinch hitter, you try to do the best you can. And when you get the opportunity to go play, you try to do the best you can as well. So, but as far as my role is concerned, I really couldn't explain to you my role on this team. I don't know. I mean, sometimes I think it's as a pinch hitter. Sometimes I think it's as just an extra player. I really don't know. There's no real explanation given as to what they expect from you or what they want from you.
Well, the team's doing well, and we expected it to be different with Darvish gone, but I don't think that most of us expected you guys to be right up there at the top of the Pacific League.
Well, I think if you look at our lineup, we lost Darvish as far as starting pitching is concerned. We've had a couple of young kids come in. Yoshikawa, he stepped up and he's throwing the ball extremely well. Yagi, while he was here, was throwing the ball extremely well. Tadano's come in with the absence of Kepler, and he's throwing the ball extremely well. And our other pitchers, Yuki stepped up, done a great job. Wolfie's doing a good job. And that's our thing. I mean, we've pitched well all year long, and our offense, I mean, you look at Inabasan, you look at Daikon, these guys, they're really stepping up, and they're really making our lineup better. And they're helping the guys out around them that aren't doing quite as well as they want to do right now. And I think if we continue to do that, we've got a good mix of guys here, and everybody likes each other. So it's a good situation. Hopefully we can keep going. We'll see what happens as the season progresses.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you, how do you see the Pacific League playoff race playing out?
It's freaking May 2nd, man, or May 8th, whatever it is. I have no idea. We got a long ways to go, but a lot of things can change. I mean, last year it came down, second, third place came down to the last week of the season. So I mean, you would like to think that you've got an opportunity to either win the league or be in first, second, or third place for sure. But we'll see how it unfolds.
All right, buddy, stay healthy.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for the time. Well, I like his last comment. It's freaking May 2nd or May whatever it is. That was awesome. Thank you, Micah.
It was good, and so I don't have to say it, John.
Well, at that point, I was just looking for him to say, yeah, well, I think, we're going to stay in the race. I think the fighters are good. I think this team is good. I like the pitching staff over here, and we'll see how it plays out. But, yeah, I got smacked back with it's freaking May 2nd, so I won't ask that question again until about maybe June or July.
Maybe July. He says it's freaking July. Give me a break.
Freaking July, man. Wait until September when the games really count. Get out of here with this stuff.
Hey, September's too early to talk about the pennant races. You know that.
But as far as what he was talking about, I look at it this way, and I asked some Japanese players as well, and I didn't get much of a response. But it seems to me that when I said the game was pure or it seems like it's in a pure form, to me it just means you go up and you try to get the next guy out, and you don't worry about who stands there and stares at a home run too long or who got hit yesterday or who's pounding their chest, because it just doesn't make sense to them in Japanese baseball. Every runner, especially since we've changed to the new ball, an extra runner before a guy and there's a home run or the pitcher loses control and starts to walk guys, or you have hits, you have a bad inning or a big inning, that one batter, that one extra guy can just mess up the whole situation. So
right.
I think it's too important. So when I said pure, I meant you go after the next guy and you just try to get him out, and you don't worry about the previous guy. You don't worry about too much about the guy after.
Yeah, I was kind of curious about that, what you meant by pure. It's such a subjective, unless we're talking about a chemical formula, it's such a subjective thing. So I was curious.
Yeah, and I told him before the interview that I was going to ask him that question in particular, and he laughed. He said, John, there is no pure form of baseball. And,
right on, baby.
And, I mean, certainly we got kids playing in the park. That might be. But I guess there isn't any.
Only
I
if would they're like to pure.
If we can look inside their hearts. But, yeah, I know they throw inside to keep guys honest here in Japan. It's not that there is no form of policing the plate and policing the game. But in terms of, as Micah said, guys peeling off at second, and letting the second baseman or shortstop finish off a double play without challenging, no crashing into catchers at home plate on close plays coming home, which we've seen a lot of this year. We've seen a lot of close plays at home.
Mm.
And I also asked Jeremy Powell, and his answer was he thought there's no policing in the throwing at batters,
right?
Because this country is non-confrontational; it just doesn't happen.
I think that's pretty accurate.
And the thing I remembered was in the movie Mr. Baseball, which was filmed in Nagoya mostly, I think, more heavily in Nagoya. Let's put it that way. And you'll see pitchers remove their caps when they hit a guy,
right?
And many of us remember that from the movie. And yeah, certainly there are guys getting angry because someone stood at the plate too long after they hit a home run. Or remember Shinjo and other guys in the 90s used to come home to home plate and touch the plate with their hands.
Right. And Koji Akiyama, currently the manager of the Lions, the Hawks, when he was with the Lions and he would celebrate a big home run, he did this in the Japan series with a somersault onto home plate.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that would attract some attention. The There's a great story that one of our coworkers told us about Tony Barnett and Aaron Guile having this conversation with the Yakult Swallows last year. Was if a particular foreign player who celebrates his home runs with dances after he hits a home run off of me, I'll drill him, or I would drill him, and then nothing happened. And
the dancing Alex?
Yeah. He was doing his dance fever.
He's doing his, we haven't seen much of it this year. His bolt, I suppose. It looks a lot like the same bolt doing his bolt pose.
That's all right.
We haven't seen much of it this year, so I haven't had to call him out on it yet. But I will when I see him.
I don't want to go into that story. It's a great story by Alex, and I don't want to go into the details, but essentially his answer is, hey, you know, when people say, why do you do that when we don't do it in the States? The answer is, we're not in the States.
I understand. I fully understand, and he's right. You know, and it was really entertaining when he was with the Swallows, and it was great for the Giants fans, and he made variations of the dances and jigs, and it was good, and they were successful, and they won with it, but yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. What bothered me about the foreign player attitude, though, towards this purity was that Micah made it sound like there is none at all, and I really think in Japan it's pretty pure in terms of going out and just trying to get guys out and then come up to the plate. And we don't see all this. There is not a lot of animosity out there. It's a lot of good natured games, and everybody likes each other. And I don't mind seeing a guy slide in at home, and if he has nowhere to slide, he stops, he pulls up, and the guys hug, and it's the third out, and they both walked to their respective dugouts. I don't mind it at all. I mean, I was mad last year when Buster Posey got so much attention for getting run over, but that's what the guys do in the States, and I understand that that's what they do here in Japan.
Okay, well, I don't want to revisit that, but I certainly hear what you're saying, and I certainly, when we're talking about pure, we're talking about played essentially according to the rules. As opposed to guys are allowed, catchers are allowed to block plate and run, and it's okay to kill them and, you know, to risk their lives if they're allowed to block the plate and so on and so forth. Essentially the game is, played according to the rules. Now, of course, it's not played according to the rules, but that's baseball. They don't seem to care. They're not gonna change the rules to make the game faster or more interesting. And
I think what you're saying is a sterile game as opposed to pure. I mean,
no, I mean that they play it. They unfortunately, the problem with the purity is I think it just depends. And I think Micah had this hit on the head. It depends on where you look at it, because pure would be, you know, you can call it anything. I mean, in my mind, what drives me nuts, and which we'll talk about in a second, is this planning, this I don't know if I can use the word, but just obsessive, almost dementia, about planning and trying to predict what the next pitch is going to be, in what situation, against what pitcher. These guys spend all their time, the coaches, I guess they got nothing better to do, and we'll get to that in a second. They got nothing better to do but to, you know, get the players drilled in on what pitchers they're going to see in their league. And this is very much away from the game as, you know, as a contest. Now, unfortunately, that's the way it is in Japan.
Right.
And we have the bunting because this is what they believe wins the game. Or, you know, and you can be criticized not because it doesn't work, but because you're not following the plan.
Right.
You're an iconoclast.
Yeah, well, and the last thing that really was actually very disturbing was the fact that they haven't told him what his role was, which is something we heard a few episodes ago from the Giants' John Bowker, who was not told what he had to do to get into the lineup. And essentially, you know, with Micah and Termell Sledge, both left-handed hitters, Micah played the outfield before. He can play first base. He's not really going to find much time at either of those positions. He could be, you know, pinch hitter extraordinaire, but they don't usually keep foreign players just to come up and pinch hit. They usually keep an old veteran, those kick-around guys at the end of the bench, who I love, as I always say.
Right.
So it's, you know, his face kind of changed when he started talking about that, and he said, and it looked like it was really frustrating.
Right.
And yet he's so understanding of the culture here, you know, in just his second year, he seems to understand, have a really good grasp on Japanese baseball and the culture of it.
Right.
But he was really at a loss to explain what his role is, or, you know, going forward, what he's going to do. But, you know, he had hit a home run the night before I went out there on Tuesday, and he hit a home run on Wednesday in pinch hitting roles. And the more he plays, the more Sledge would sit, obviously. And they would take turns, I guess, pinch hitting. It's a tough situation. It's a real tough situation. And he said it.
Well, I want to, you know, I thought about that. And I thought about that when Bowker was going on. And I don't think this is not unique. It is, I think it is more endemic to Japanese baseball, this idea that the coaches know and the player's job is to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read you a short quote. This is a major league pitcher. When he was asked by his teammate if he had trouble communicating with the, as much trouble communicating with the coaches, he says, "Of course, the minute I approach a coach or a manager, I can see the terror in his eyes. Lights go on, bells start clanging. What's it going to be? What's this guy want from me? Why can't he be like everybody else and not bother me? It's almost impossible to carry on a conversation or get a direct answer to a direct question." Now, that was Mike Marshall talking to Jim Boughton with the Seattle Pilots. And they're in a situation where...
I thought for sure it was a foreign player here in Japan.
No, this is a case where they'd ask the coach and they said, you know, ask the manager, well, why don't you talk to the coach? Or, you know, what do you think about this pitch? It's, well, I don't think you should throw it, you know, or whatever. I mean, everything's backwards and nobody seems to know what's going on. And, you know, this happens there. People, it's like the situation with Brandon Mann where they had other people to look at. This happens as much in the U.S. as it does in Japan. People come to Japan because they're good players. A lot of quality players come here because they don't see a place for these players in the majors. This is the story of Seth Greisinger. The Giants really didn't see a place for him with the team anymore. They'd lost faith in him, and even though he pitched well in the minors,
mm-hmm.
they just really couldn't envision him bringing him back up so he could disappoint them again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it never really mattered what he did. It got to some point. Dickie Gonzalez pitched good. Good man, come on up, do a good job for us. Seth Greisinger pitched well and said, like, man, you're going to be pitching for somebody else next year, so we don't really want to worry about you.
So
anyway, this kind of thing happens, although to be fair, I think it happens a lot more in Japan because it happens with everybody. And I think in the majors, it's a little less common. And I think there are managers, the managers we know who are really good communicators.
Mm-hmm.
And who really make an effort to communicate, they're out there. They're usually famous for it. And then there's the rest of the guys.
So. Well, one manager, as we segue into our next section, who I'm not sure he's a great communicator. Maybe with his hands.
He used to be a great communicator with his fist.
Well, that's what I said, with his hands.
That's right. He was using sign language.
Seiichi Hoshino, who is with he's skippering the Rakuten Eagles this year, his second year with that club. Before that, he was with the Hanshin Tigers as a manager and as a front office guy. And before that, he was with the Chunichi Dragons as manager after his pitching career ended.
He was the race pitcher.
Now, I wrote something of a scathing column after the Dragons finished in last place in the CL in the first year in Nagoya Dome, because he didn't really seem to know what was going on in that dome.
Right.
And I remember my one big story about Hoshino with me interacting with him, sort of, I guess it was me interacting near him, was that I remember I wanted to get a mugshot of him from my paper in Nagoya, and I was down on the field before game time, as usual, with everyone else, and asked him to stop so I could snap a quick picture. And I don't even think he grunted in my direction. He grunted the other direction and walked faster as he walked by. But, yeah, congratulations to him for getting his 1,000th managerial victory the other day. And look at his Eagles. The gutty little Eagles are red hot, 5 in a row, baby.
That's right. That's the way you go.
Good for them.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. They've had the Eagles last year were a disaster. And I actually, oh, God, I shouldn't have said that. I hate to say that because I did not intend that pun at all, but they were really buried.
I get it. Oh.
Yeah, they were buried after the earthquake, and they tried so they won a couple of big emotional games, but they won very little else last year, and a bunch of the key players didn't play very well, and it was and Hoshino wasn't happy with the way the front, you know, for the last 2 years they had a manager who wasn't happy with the way the front office was doing things and didn't understand what was going on, and he seems to have the team. Well, I don't know if he has the team or they're just playing up to their ability a little more. I mean, they certainly didn't last year.
I think they're playing over their heads right now. But the good thing is last year I remember him stomping the bench, kicking, slamming his fist into, you know, pounding his fist into the bench while they were losing games. And I think he resigned himself to understanding that it's a low-budget team and it's not going to have a bunch of high-priced anything, foreign players or Japanese players. So he's going to have to do the best that he can do with those guys. And I think he kind of made an adjustment in that respect. And I think bringing on Okubo as hitting coach has really helped, because no matter what personal problems Okubo has had, he's helped teams have success at the plate.
Agreed.
And I think we're going to see, and we are seeing some of the results of that. And to win early on, it's probably going to give them a little bit more confidence, especially going into the second half of the season, if they can stay, you know, fourth or fifth or, you know, within striking distance of a playoff spot. Yeah. But they have to get their ace back together.
Yeah, that's a tough road to hoe for them. But he's the first pitcher who won 1,000 games as a manager.
Wow.
And he's an interesting character. We don't have much time to go into the real Senchon, because he's got as many faces as Sybil.
Yeah, well, I usually just see the mean one, and you've talked about how you have a good relationship with him, and I couldn't believe it, because when I started this job, I was really scared of that guy. He was one of the guys, he's the persona and what, but
I think
I still am. I really haven't talked to him. I'm sorry.
When I first started really to talk to him, he was managing the Tigers, and they were about to win the Central League.
Everything's good.
Everything was good. He was my buddy. I think that's the thing. And we have this, I don't know, we have this routine. It's kind of funky. I can't for the life of me tell you when it started. I guess it was when he was still the senior director of the Hanshin Tigers board of directors or whatever his job was, head pencil sharpener or something. He was doing
something. Don't be me. Just try to be nice.
And
I know what this one is. Can I do it?
What?
What are you doing here?
What did you come here for? I came here to talk to you.
That's the one,
right?
He
says, don't tell me any lies.
Abbott and Costello, ladies and gentlemen. Costello over here all week.
Yeah. So he's always a wealth of information, and he's fairly free with the things he says. So you gotta love him as a reporter.
Love him, man. The images I have of him, and you guys can Google, just put his name in, even in English, it'll come up.
Breaking ribs?
Just going nuts, yeah. Who's the pitcher he hit? A.G. Ochiai? I know he slapped him, and then he punched another one, but I don't even remember who that was.
He smacked catcher Fumihiro Suzuki.
Who's now with the Orcs?
Yeah, still playing. That was like 2001 or something.
And I know that he was in that pushing incident with Mike DeMuro and Taiho, and that's what took Mike DeMuro back to the States.
He was involved in a shoving incident when Tatsunami got called out on strikes, and Hoshino instigated a pileup at home plate when one of the Dragons outfielders joined the melee. The unfortunate, the calamity man, Mr. Kitaka.
Kitaka, favorite umpire.
He
was at a game I was at.
He got a rib broken. So there's all kinds of interesting events, but he has mellowed. I mean, he has mellowed. There's no doubt about that.
Well, he's 65, right? You got to mellow out at some point, huh?
Yeah, usually. But we always thought with him, he'd be mellowed out when he was 6 feet under. But
he'd be mellowed down, huh?
Well, yes, to be precise. But yeah. Anyway, no, he's different. He has made adjustments. I mean, he had a team which didn't hit guys. He had star players, you know, big players in big roles, and they just fell flat on their faces last year. And I think a lot of that was due with the pressure the team felt to win for Sendai.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a big deal. This year they do have a couple of more young players. It's not just Joe
Hijirizawa.
Thank you, sir, for saying that on the air. If I had to say his name 10 times fast, I'd be wearing I'd be in a rubber room with a straitjacket.
And you're not now. You're just without
the straitjacket. No. Give me a few days, dude.
You're without the straitjacket only.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't see him making a lot of strategic or outstanding strategic adjustments or anything. And I think he's just like makes the typical Japanese moves.
Pretty much.
But he's just a bad loser. And I think, and I'm saying that in a good way, because I think that motivates the players to, you know, avoid seeing that person I saw and
he's
terrified of.
He can be a divisive figure, but I think what you're saying, he's fired up, he's motivated, and he's one of these guys, he exerts an attraction to the players, and I know a lot of players really dislike him. I know a lot of players who really, you know, play for him, play hard for him, because they understand that. Now, but he can be divisive. He has a doghouse. He has a very large doghouse where he has specific players he picks on, and he, you know, he singles out for punishment sometimes for just no reason, but nobody wants to be in his doghouse.
Yeah, I sure wouldn't. I wouldn't either. Well, congratulations to him, and we want to talk about another player this is a player, not a manager, but a player who's approaching 2000. This is our third of the season.
We've been talking about him every week, haven't we?
We've been talking about him, and he's been at a snail's pace, Hiroki Kokubo of the SoftBank Hawks. But it looks like he had a hit today, so he's six short or shy of 2,000. I think he can get it this week. So next week we'll be saying congratulations. But you know what? I did notice something, that he has been really clutch. He doesn't hit for power anymore, and we talked about that. But I don't care what the numbers say. I hear a lot of people saying that there's no such thing as a clutch hitter. And yeah, if you go and look at the batting averages, I'm sure you're going to find that they don't hit that much higher than.
I'll tell you there is.
Okay.
Some people are better at making adjustments. And you know, one of the guys who's a tremendous clutch hitter, and I say this without any
reservation.
You're the man. Without any reservation, thank you, sir, is Makoto Kaneko of the Fighters.
Okay.
Now, this is a guy who hits his career batting average over the last 5 years has got to be 250 or 260, but put a couple of guys in scoring position, you know, with two outs in a close game, and I would bet you he's well over 300.
Well, see, and that's the thing I was going to get to. I don't really even care what the batting average is. I want to know how many line drives the guy's hitting with guys on base.
That's another case.
Because you can't always get a hit with the line drive.
No, you can't.
But
I asked him. I've asked him about this.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, what is it? He says, you know.
Chicks dig the short ball? His short game? Okay.
No. Where do you get these? Are you buy them? Because if you are, you better send them back. I ain't working. Okay. Now, anyway, what he said was that, you know, if it's not a big situation, he doesn't, I'm not going to go as far as saying he doesn't really care,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't get motivated. He goes up there and he has essentially mediocre at bats most of the time.
Got too much. Got too many other things as shortstop on his mind. He wants to figure out who's.
The other thing is he's continually has back and shoulder pain.
Yeah, he got it. He had deactivated recently as well.
Right. So I mean, that's part of being clutch is being inconsistent or being bad the rest of the time because you don't care. That's Kazuhiro Kiyo. Anyway, that was him. If it wasn't a big game, who cares? Japan Series, watch out. That guy was, you couldn't get the guy out.
Yeah.
All-Star Games, Japan Series, you name it, you couldn't get him out. That's because the rest of the time he was like playing with, you know, tying one hand because of his back.
He's in a daze, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so yeah, good luck to Kokobo. We should be talking about him next week and give him some praise. And
clutch hitting does exist. I absolutely believe it does exist. It's just, you know, I'll quote Bill James, it's, you know, it's a molehill rather than a mountain. It's a small effect over a large period of time, but it does exist. It is there. It's not something that's just random chance.
Good, because I believe in clutch hitting.
Good.
All right.
You're the man.
Our next topic, we're going to talk about Interleague, which starts on Wednesday. Now, I love the fact this is what year is this? Year 7? I forgot.
Year 8. Year 8. 2005 started, so 2011. Hold on.
Yeah, year 8. So, and our Central League has won.
1 year?
1 year.
Tied 1 year and one, I think 1 year they tied.
And so now
the last 2 years have been complete and total disasters for the Central League.
Yeah, this is you know, we keep saying, and I said last year, okay, this is going to be the year where the Central League is going to win this thing, and blah, 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 blah. And it was a Freddy Krueger movie the whole time for the Central League. So I've seen these pitchers, Holton and Sugiuchi go from the Hawks to the Giants.
Right.
I wrote a story the other day about the Hiroshima Carp and that it's improved, or their improved rotation. The Dragons have a good rotation. I think this year the Central League can pitch with the Pacific League.
I don't think that can happen.
But I don't think they can score with the Pacific League.
Yeah, well, that's a good question because we really, you know, you really don't know how good the offenses are, you know, absolutely, because they play against themselves. They play in different contexts. The Pacific League play in more pitchers' parks. On the other hand, they have a DH and blah, blah, blah. You know, there's a half dozen things. It's almost like comparing, apples and oranges.
Right.
But I think the thing with the Pacific League there's two things with the Interleague that were very interesting last year. One was the comment by, Shohei Tateyama, the Swallows, who was deadly in Interleague. And he said, you know, really interestingly enough, he said, I think the Pacific League pitchers are better. And the reason he thought they were better is A, they developed in pitchers' parks. B, they developed in a league where they don't have to bat. Those two things. And then the third thing was they're used to pitching to real offenses without a break in the number 9 spot.
Right, without a pitcher, yep.
Which he finds actually is a little easier because you don't have that little lapse, that built-in, you know, easy spot.
Yeah, the guard doesn't go down.
Yeah, so he found that to be easier to pitch, which I'm not buying yet, but that was his opinion, and you know, there's no evidence that isn't the case. Okay, so anyway, I did a study of this for a column last year, went back in the days when I was writing columns for the Daily Omiuri.
We
were writing columns, we were indeed all of us. And, you know, if that's true, one would expect the pitchers who win the most games
mm-hmm.
over their careers to come out of a league where there's a DH.
Ah.
Which, if it's helping guys develop, you would expect guys who started their careers in a league with a DH to have longer and better careers than the guys who came out of a league that made the pitchers hit. You know what? That's exactly what happens.
Huh.
It's like 70% of the top active wins leaders in the major league come out of the American League. And in Japan, it's about the same thing. Most of the guys who win the most games start their careers in the Pacific League.
Huh. I'm just looking at the numbers now. In 2005, the Central League finished one game shy of the Pacific League, and in the same in 2006. They never won. They've never finished
okay.
with more wins. Oh, that's not true. It's 2009. I take that back. 2009, they had 70-67 with 7 ties. So
I thought they did well in 2006 because Lee Sung-yup switched from the
Marines to the Giants.
He had his breakthrough year. He had a breakthrough year against the Central League and Interleague in the Japan Series.
2006 was Central League 107 wins to 108 for the Pacific League, so they were one back.
So the Pacific League, there's a lot of reasons why they don't, why they have an advantage. And one of the reasons, which I think, is that they're used to a schedule where they, first of all, the Central League teams don't fly.
Normally.
They don't fly. When they're playing a Central League team, they take the train because they're all on the Shinkansen. They're all between Tokyo and Hiroshima. The longest trip they might have to take is Tokyo to Hiroshima. Okay. The Pacific League teams, the Fighters fly to all their road games. The Eagles fly to a bunch of their road games, as do the Hawks will fly every time they, except when they play the Buffaloes. So they're used to that. And this is something the Central League teams don't have to deal with. And I think that's a difference.
Yeah. I was thinking that one of the differences for me was the consistent defense up the middle in the Pacific League, that sometimes the catchers were better. You got shortstops like Makoto Kaneko, as you referred to earlier, who positions so well for his pitchers. He knows his pitchers as well as the hitters, but I don't know that that helps him in interleague. But I thought the defense up the middle, because I wasn't sure how well the teams like the Giants had, you know, they've always had good infielders, but not great middle infielders. Shinosuke Abe has been great as a catcher, but the outfield has been suspect sometimes. So I just see a lot of consistent defense up the middle in the Pacific League. And, but I was just searching. I was trying to think.
Well, I think there's a combination there, you know, because one of the things I really love about baseball is synergies.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you love to talk about, things like this. Now they're just a bugbear trying to measure, but the synergy between pitching and defense is to me the heart of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And the synergy between batting and offense is something batting and pitching is what a lot of batters like to talk about. You know, the pitchers get a boost knowing the batters are going to score a run. The batters get a boost knowing they don't have to score many runs. I think when you get into the Pacific League, this whole environment where the pitchers are a little better, where the other thing is by having a DH, there's less pressure to put a guy who really can't field in the field.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think that's small. To be fair, I don't think that's a big deal.
But it is a factor, yeah.
It could be a factor. It's something that we could study and research. But I do love the fact that when you have a Pacific League pitchers, they're used to pitching deeper in the games because the guys aren't going to come out if they have a mediocre inning. They're not going to come out for a pitch hitter in the fifth inning if the game's 1-1 or 2-1 against them, because there's no advantage to it. Guys get to know their, you know what they can do a little better. Anyway, so there's lots of things going on. There's lots of dynamics going on there that are really interesting. So anyway, I love interleague because it takes, Trey Hillman said a great thing in 2004, going into the 2006 season,
mm-hmm.
when, the second year of interleague, and he said the biggest challenge, the two biggest challenges for him were getting more work in spring training, because he had laid back thinking there was too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he played up to the culture. You know, somebody said he gave in to the way Japanese people played ball, but he was always sensitive to it, but he cut too many of the things that they needed, he thinks, psychologically. Mm-hmm. And he was pushed by Shigeru Takada, his general manager, to essentially to lengthen practice and to bunt more. But these were things that he found a way to do positively that, you know, that meshed with his philosophy. And so it worked. But one of the things that he was really insistent on from the first day of spring training is we've got, at that time, 36 interleague games. And we can't lose the season in interleague. And he was shocked at how badly his hitters hit against the Central League guys.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, look, they go up there and they have terrible at-bats. They look like they don't know what they're doing. And because they weren't getting they didn't know who they were facing. They mm-hmm. weren't used to it. So he said, first day in camp, we're going to get used to having team meetings and prepping for the Pacific League, the Central League teams. We're playing the Tigers in a practice game. We're going to have a scouting report on the Tigers as a training for the whole staff. That realization of how hard interleague is when you're used to programming each batter for each pitcher is really something that teams had to adjust with. And I think the first year of interleague, the Tigers did terrible. They had probably their worst season under Ochiai. Because they went in.
The Dragons.
Yeah,
they were awful. Yeah.
Because the attitude from Ochiai was, interleague isn't real baseball. It's like, what is this stuff? It's a fad. And he dismissed it publicly. Now, I don't know what's going on in private, but he was dissing it and the players were saying nothing good about it. And then the Dragons came out and fired blanks. And
they were surprisingly awful. Yeah.
Yeah, they addressed that afterwards. I think that they addressed it. The Fighters addressed it. A couple of teams. The Marines didn't have to address it because they had Lee Sung Yup batting 400 against the Central League with 16 or, I don't know, he had 27 home runs and I think he had 15 of them in 36 interleague games.
Well, yeah, it's funny you should mention that because I pulled up the stats of the top five batters each year.
Okay.
In interleague and of all, you know, this will be the eighth year. Each year, except for one, it was Benny Agbayani of the Lotte Marines. Each year we've had a guy hit 400 in interleague.
Okay.
Every year the top batter is batting four something.
Okay.
Including,
it was Benny Agbayani every year? How did you manage that last year?
No. It was Benny Agbayani in 2008. No, not 2000, 2007.
Okay.
But every year there has been a 400. The batting leader during interleague play has batted.
Which is not a surprise because when you play 36 games, you're going to have guys who hit 400.
Yeah, I mean you can have guys hit well for a stretch, but sure. Every year it's amazing that it's that high every year. I mean 412.
No, I think
415, 411, 407.
I think if you take a stretch of any 36 game period where every team's playing, you'll have somebody's hitting 400. It's almost impossible not to because there's so much chance happening in baseball. None of these guys are 400 hitters, obviously.
No. And the only guy who was on there, I mean, like I said, I only took the top five. The only guy who was on the list twice in the top five, there were two of them.
Right.
You want to take a guess?
Two of them. I might say Lee Sung Yup was one of them.
Nah, he only appears once.
Okay. Imai Toshiaki?
No.
Okay, then I don't know.
This is your last guess. Oh, okay.
I don't know. I give up.
Given up already. Yeah.
I quit.
The guys you wouldn't think. The guy who last year hit 412 was Tomotaka Sakaguchi, a guy you like.
Yeah.
Yeah, he hit 412 last year.
Yeah, I liked him for the interleague MVP.
MVP. That's right. And he hit 389 in 2010. And the other guy to hit or to appear in the top five twice was the guy I have a man crush on.
Oh, let's talk about him.
You don't remember his name, though.
I remember all the guys you got crushes on.
I only have a man crush on Yoshio Itoi of the Fighters. That's it.
You forgot about Iguchi, then, because you told me you did after your Iguchi interview.
Oh, that's right. Yes, Mr. Tadahito.
The boy, John. Yeah. How quickly he forgets. So, guys, if John tells you he's in love with you.
Gosh, I feel like a fickle high school girl.
You well, look at it this way, John. You don't look like one.
Thank you.
that's a good thing.
I think the listeners have a little bit of an idea. But for those of you who don't, feel free to send us an email and I'll send you a picture.
Okay, I think that's had enough room to run.
Yeah, all right. Well, we've got to wrap it up. Thank you, everyone, for listening. You can send us an email to yakyujohn@gmail.com or check us out on our Facebook page. Leave us a comment there. Send us an MP3 with a comment or a question, and we'll
address
it on the show. Tell Jim how much he looks like a high school girl he looks closer to a high school girl because his hair is so long. Ba-ba-bing!
Wow. It's longer than yours is, but Not as long as it was.
Not as long as it was. All right.
That's right.
All right. Thank you for listening, everyone. Have a good week.
All right. Yes. And we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
All right. Enjoy your Interleague Baseball.